And welcome in to the Monday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Ian Safar here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Happy Monday morning to you. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How we doing?
Doing fine. That's, you know, weekend at the frat house. Hanging out, you know, with Biff and whoever, little beanies, you know, little propellers on the hats. It was great. Had a good time.
Did it take you back? Relive the glory days?
Well, I didn't. I wasn't in a fraternity.
I know, but college. Like you could the college life you could have lived.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much lived that life. you don't have to wear the Greek letters to be a jackass.
Jimmy Darts up there. Go Vrabel, just start smoking darts?
I did not. No, I was dart free. Dart free, but I had a lot of beverages and food. So, you know.
No gout so far.
No gout.
That's good.
I did drink a few beers, and you know, and I had some red meat too. So I had the
Maybe someday you could be like me and get gout.
There you go. I mean, I had the peanut barrel olive burger. I had to. I had the crunchies burger too. I had two burgers.
I've heard a lot about this place.
Yeah, the crunchies and the peanut barrel burger. That's like the big. I had them both, man. Which I had just thought about that now. Gosh, and some beers, and I'm okay. Like there's no gout flare. So, but
good
believe
for
me,
you.
We are going hardcore water, chicken, you know, fruits and vegetables. Just to make sure.
Good keep that you. Gout away. I mean, shout out to our friends at Functional Medicine of Tennessee.
That's right.
We're doing a great job around here. Doing a great job. Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. No frat houses for me this weekend.
Same.
You say olive burger?
Yeah, so, and this is, and I honestly, I didn't realize this, really, probably until kind of recently. I kind of thought it was a thing, you know, all over the country. It's not. It's very much a Michigan thing. But
I've never even heard of it.
No.
Yeah, it's you have to love green olives, and I know that that's very polarizing. Some people love them, some people hate them.
Yeah, they're better than black olives. I'll give you that.
I could eat a thing of green olives. I mean, I could eat them. I just eat them like they're candy.
I've had them on pizza before. Not terrible.
Yeah, yeah. So this is olive loaf. So it's a regular burger, and then essentially it's olives chopped up, green olives, and then usually in a – the paste is usually either made with mayonnaise or cream cheese, some other lime juice.
It's like a topping on top, yeah.
It's amazing, man. Okay. I'm telling you. If you don't like green olives, I'm sure it's disgusting.
Sure.
But
Never heard of it, so sorry.
Yeah,
I was just trying to get some clarification there.
You get up to me. See, I would say go ahead and try one, but if you don't like green olives, but if you don't hate them,
worth a try.
You want to give it a try.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Robbie, you probably don't.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone, I think. But I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did. I mean, talking about it right now, I'm like kind of sad that like I won't have one for a while. I make them at home sometimes.
Oh, okay.
I can't make it peanut barrel quality. They have some secret ingredient that I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out.
We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We will get into another week of the Titans. Joe, it was, kind of nice to have the bye week last week where you took a break from having to watch the Titans play football. We were back at it. It got exciting at the end of it yesterday. Titans with a dramatic drive toward the end of the game to tie it up at 13. And then ultimately Houston drives it down the field. They kick the game-winning field goal, and the Titans lose 16-13. So the Titans are 1-9. It has been more than a calendar year since they've won a game at home. They're now 0-5 at home on the year. Cam Ward, 24 of 37, 194 yards, one touchdown, quarterback rating of 87. The Titans ran the ball 17 times for 58 yards. 33 of those came from Cam Ward scrambling, which means Pollard and Spears combined for 14 carries for 25 yards in the game yesterday. So overall, what did you make of the Titans' 16-13 loss to the Houston Texans yesterday, Joe?
It's just the same game. It's just the same game over and over. It's just slight variations, slight little details each time. But you're going to hang in there. You're going to play tough. You're going to get, if you're lucky, into the teens. You're not going to get out of the teens. You're going to make some plays to give you a chance. You're going to make just enough bad place to lose. In this current phase of this horrible Titans era, I mean, Mike McCoy, like, dude, you're 1-8.
Yeah,
man. I mean, some of these decisions are straight out of you're a coach in 1987. Like, it's just it's hard to stomach. It's already bad enough with everything else, and I'm not saying they would have won if they're if they're more aggressive, but like settling for long fields on 4th and 1, 4th and 2, like
it's 4th and 2 in the Houston 28.
Yeah, like that's just, again, math has been embraced in this league. Now, you want to contrast it. Sometimes you can do stupid stuff like go 0-for-5 on 4th down in a game when wind conditions would dictate that you might want to take short field goals, you know. And so Dan Campbell, by the way, apparently just was like, yep, I screwed it up. So good for him. That's the other extreme. But the fact is, math has been embraced, and so probabilities factor into these decisions. And, like, that is officially a bad decision in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, again, there are always variables, right? I mean, and it's true that, like, the Titans can't run the ball at all against that defense. That's a great defense. The Texans have a great defense. But still, it's a bad decision. And it's just, at this point, with this team, where they are, I just, like, how could you – why are you coming in here and making things even worse with your conservatism? It is – ugh. And I know Kaharski just – we should – yeah, at some point today, just play the back and forth with Kaharski and him. I mean, Kaharski seriously might actually attack him at some point. Like, they might need to get a restraining order on Kaharski.
He's not a fan of Mike McCoy. You know, 4th and 2 from the 28, you decide to go kick the field goal. I guess what I can't get over in this whole thing is, what do you have to lose? Just break it down to you as interim. Like, what do you have to lose right now? I mean, you're a 1-8 football team at the time. You know, if you don't get it, okay. You don't get it, whatever. But like you said, the math tells you to go for it in that situation. And you're a 1-8 football team with nothing to lose. I mean, see how your quarterback at least handles a situation like that. Like, you know, it's amazing that continues to be the case. Calvin Ridley, just a tough deal for him yesterday. The first offensive play of the game for the Titans. He goes limping off the field, and that's it for him. He broke fibula, and he is out the rest of the year. So, he comes back from the injury, gets back out on the field. They had Ridley back out there yesterday, had Jeffrey Simmons back out there yesterday, Arden Key was back on the field, and then, first play, Calvin Ridley's off, and that's all she wrote for Calvin Ridley this year. And maybe all she wrote for Calvin Ridley in the Titans uniform.
I would think so. Yeah. Tough break. I mean, it's too bad. I mean, I give credit. I mean, look, it's your job. You're paid well for the job. But to try to get back out there in a season like this, like Arden Key's out there. Hey, say whatever you want about Arden Key, man. That guy, if he gets a chance to play football, he's going to go out there and throw his body around, And, yeah, you feel bad for Calvin Ridley trying to come back. It would have been, I think, good for the Titans to just have another weapon out there for Cam Ward. And you just have a guy who can take a little bit of defense away and make people think out there a little bit, make some plays. So tough break for him, and you wonder. I mean, I'd be shocked if Calvin Ridley plays another snap for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised.
So that's probably it. It's another one of those signings, that obviously just signing / trades, just like with Snead, that just the cooking, the oven was left on and everything melted.
Yeah.
So it's too bad. But now it's also for the Titans. It's clarity. And the rest of the year, then DK gets hurt, so you're really kind of strapped yesterday. But, the rest of the year, it's clarity. It's very much a Cam and those two young receivers and young tight end, and see what you can do with that.
Yeah, big play down the sideline on the last drive for the Titans offensively. Chig, I think it was 39 yards.
Great
makes
throw.
The play. Great throw down the sideline. Next play, they score a touchdown to Van Jefferson. So Van Jefferson gets in the end zone, and they tie it up, and you're feeling pretty good. I think it was 3rd and 16 that Houston converted on the next drive to Nico Collins, where it's just a great toe tap on the sideline there. Huge play in the game, obviously. And then they end up kicking the game winner. Nico Collins.
Who?
Yeah. 9 catches, 92 yards, one touchdown in that game, but no play bigger than that one. The toe tap along the sideline there is good stuff from Nico Collins.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, look, Cam Ward had some more struggles yesterday. I think yesterday is a great, like, eye of the beholder. I'm sure we will have Titans fans today talking about Cam Ward's performance. You know, the ones who are going to find every positive are going to point to that throw and some other plays he made. Definitely him running was good. That was a very good development. That's got to continue to happen. And then the people who are out on him, there's plenty of throws you can look at and say, dude, you can't miss that throw. But it comes down to, I think one of the most impressive things about Tennessee Titans this year is Denard Wilson and what he's done, because I think he's had a way better year as D coordinator than he did last year, and he's had incredible personnel issues, guys.
Attrition.
Traded. Yeah, exactly. Injuries, trades, releases, whatever, and they keep coming up with, you know, pretty good performances. I understand it's Davis Mills and the Texans, but then
easy.
Yeah. Well, hey, he had himself some numbers yesterday, right?
He did.
I mean, he's pretty good, man. He's a pretty good backup. But yeah, you know, then you give up. Then for all that said, it's just like the Titans' way. It's like even at the part of your team that does well ultimately gives up the huge play, and you find a way to lose.
Well, you know, and we're gonna hear from Jeffrey Simmons here in just a second, but he sums it up pretty well in terms of, like, you know, this is an overused term in football, and coaches use this all the time. But it is true with the Titans. Like, complimentary football just does not exist with the Tennessee Titans. And the defense has been – they have carried their weight, so I don't want to sit here and act like they haven't. But even then, Joe, like, yesterday the offense drives down the field and ties the game. It's like, well, if you can just get a stop here, you can get this thing to overtime, and then they don't get the stop.
And they don't get the stop, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a bad all-around team. I still say, though, like they shouldn't – be having the success they've had some weeks to me when I look at who's out on that field.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, especially on the defensive side of the ball. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans lose 16-13 yesterday to the Houston Texans. And Jeffrey Simmons sounding off after the game. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Titans lose 16-13 to Houston yesterday. They dropped to 1-9 on the season. Taking your thoughts on the game, 615-737-1025. Jeffrey Simmons, not a happy camper in the aftermath of this one for the Tennessee Titans. He had a lot of things to say after the game. Here is what Jeffrey Simmons, the Titans superstar on defense, had to say following the 16-13 loss to Houston yesterday.
Can't have them in the false starts. We need to be better. I mean, we can't keep sitting up here saying the same thing, trying to sugarcoat it for the media, for anybody. And I said it in the locker room. I said it on the field. I'm tired of sugarcoating. I mean, we need to be better. At the end of the day, we need to protect Cam better. Simple.
How do you guys feel as a defense when knowing if you give up two touchdowns or, you know, whatever, that it's going to be hard to win?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's about complementing football. We have to play better team football. Sometimes the offense can be playing good. Sometimes the defense. But how can we play good as a team, three phases? We not playing good team football right now, and it's showing. And Mike said it at practice Friday. We had freaking four false starts Friday. We playing at home. We shouldn't have that many false starts. Don't care. Like, I'm tired of saving feelings. I'm tired of losing. That's what I'm tired of doing. I mean, guys on this team fighting. Reed fighting. Arden, we fought our way back from injuries. That's because the team and this game means so much to us. Everybody had to take that same approach. Take this approach. We grown men. Everybody have a job to do. And we need to attack this game. We need to attack every day with a better attitude. And like I said, we need to play better football as a team. We're not.
That was Jeffrey Simmons after the game. Says he's tired of sugarcoating stuff. Said he said it on the field. Said it in the locker room. He's saying it to the media. Said he's tired of sugarcoating stuff for people's feelings in the locker room. Says it's time to play some better football. And, you know, he was railing on the false starts there, both in practice and in the game. And we're going to get into some J.C. Latham conversation coming up, because it was not pretty yesterday. But what did you make of Jeffrey Simmons and what he had to say after the game? An outburst from him that we've not seen a whole lot of that, I wouldn't say, after the game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's obviously fed up. And, yeah, I mean, I couldn't help but think that A lot of that was – it wasn't – I know Latham had three. There were others too, right? But, I mean, it seems like there was a lot of subtweeting Latham in that in those comments, you know. But like you said last segment also, you know, we were talking about it, it's like then the offense does do something, and then you guys give up the 3rd and 16. But, yeah, he's fed up. He's sick of it. I feel like it was – largely, you know, again, going back to protecting, got to protect him. I think it's largely just talking about the offensive line. You know, if you, when it comes down to it, yeah, it's a big picture, sick of losing, sick of sugarcoating, whatever. I mean, but I mean, he was more direct there and more, I guess, more forceful. But I mean, I feel like we have heard a lot of, like, after games, him kind of saying, you know, basically, I'm sick of losing. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, the sick of losing part of it, like, I guess I took more interest in the I'm done sugarcoating stuff around here. Like, it's time for these guys in here to start playing better.
And yeah.
He mentioned the three and outs in there at one point on the offensive side of the ball. Like, you know, I think it was some pretty direct stuff directed at some members of the offense there that he did after.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure that he... And we know that... what he got after Latham, right? Didn't he?
Yeah,
that's
early
in the
year.
That's been reported that he's got. So look, it's. I have no idea. I don't want to go too far speculating on something. It's stunning to think that, like, based on what I know of Latham, that there'd be like a lack of professionalism or preparation or work or all that stuff. He lost all that weight in the offseason, but obviously. I mean, if Simmons gets after him in practice, there must be something going on there, right? That's leading to this lack of focus that gives you these false starts and stuff like that. And it seems like Simmons is so directly to his face and now kind of subtweeting him to media. I mean, he's pissed at him.
Well,
and others, but I think at him for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can go ahead and get into it. Latham was awful yesterday, and – well, I think it ended up being, what, three false starts and a holding penalty is what he had. Three false starts and a holding penalty. And, by the way, you're at home, okay?
Like, yeah.
You're at home with, you know, a half-empty stadium, too. Like, it's, you know, the crowd noise was not a factor in the false starts. It's
and that just should be the only reason that you have them.
Right. And Cam Ward, after the game, tried, I guess, to put a little bit of it on himself, talking about how he had some cadence issues. I mean, that's fine. Nobody else really seemed to have a problem with the cadence issues other than J.C. Latham. I mean, I know they had – did Gunnar Helm have a false start? Like, it wasn't like Latham was the only person who committed a false start yesterday. But three at home is ridiculous. Like, it's a ridiculous performance from him yesterday. You add on the holding penalty on top of it. And, again, like, it's a game, Joe, where heading into it, you were just scared to death in the first matchup against Houston that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson were going to take over the game, and they didn't. They played well, but they didn't just take it over. They didn't take it over yesterday either. I mean, Hunter ends up with a sack and a half. Anderson had one sack in the game. You're talking about two pretty darn good edge rushers at that point. But you just can't – with the offense as bad as they are, you can't just shoot yourself right in the foot with false start penalties. Like he did yesterday.
Now, it's a really interesting thing because I think that might have been one of the best games I've ever seen him play. So that's the weird thing. And it doesn't erase the false starts. That's a joke. According to Next Gen, he had Will Anderson on 17 snaps, held him to zero pressures. On 45 pass block snaps, he allowed one pressure. He looked like a good player yesterday most of the day while – Mandor on the other side. I mean, I guess I'll wait for these PFF numbers, but boy, it was not the same thing. So it's like, okay, at least you saw the talent. You saw some good play once the snap. I guess if you had to choose, you know, if you had to choose like stupid false starts but block well, or no false starts, no penalties but get smoked, you'd still take what happened. But yeah, I mean, like. Like three false starts is like,
oh,
that's just a lack of focus.
It's past time for him to put together a full effort.
Yeah.
It's past time for it. Like, all the numbers you threw out there are great, and that's fine. And you know, obviously that's encouraging to some degree. But he hadn't put together a full game of good play yet. And we're over halfway through his second year. I mean, it's time to get going on the JC. I mean, I've said this a billion times. I guess I'll just keep saying it. He needs to be a great player. And he's not close to a great player right now. And that's a big problem for the Tennessee Titans. Like, put together a one game of a performance, man.
Yeah, and also I know all of Karchi's tweet is like,
J.C. Latham, he's fine. He's fine with it.
you know, but he sort of brushed off the penalties, and that's you'd rather see more. You just point at yourself and say, yeah, that's just ridiculous. It is. Again, like, the only reason in this league that you should ever have a false start as an offensive lineman is because the wall of sound around you is so overwhelming. You know, and everybody has one here and there, fine, okay. But, like, 3-1 game at home in a dead, silent stadium, you should be taking more responsibility than he did afterward. So he's doing that over there and kind of saying, brush it off. And then Simmons is basically doing everything but calling him out.
He's not brushing it off, There's no doubt about that. I mean, look, this offense has got enough problems. I mean, they're just bad. They can't run the ball at all. They can't hold up in pass protection very well as a team. They can't – I mean, they scored 13 points yesterday. It's the same – you could put yesterday's offensive performance basically on repeat of what it's been the last 3 years. They scored 13 points. They scored one touchdown. It is what it is. You can't then combat – like, add to that with just unforced errors all over the place.
Right. And Dustin Hopkinsville points out here, you know, they were doing hard count a lot, so they must have seen something. Yeah, he said, did they see something on tape? Yeah, I think so. Was it not practice enough? I bet you it was practice enough. They had the extra time off, and this is probably part of the game plan. Like, we can get these guys a few times, get a couple free plays, right? But then Latham comes out and just totally screws it up.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's – no, I'm sure – And now Simmons said what? That they had four false starts
on Friday practice.
So clearly, yes, they're hard counting. They're trying to do some different things with that to get an advantage. Professional football players should be able to handle that.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on J.C. Latham's performance yesterday, the Titans' offense performance, and a 16-13 loss to Houston. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Titans lose 16-13 to the Houston Texans. They drop to 1-9 on the season. Taking your thoughts on that, Jeffrey Simmons with some pretty direct comments after the game. J.C. Latham, 3 false starts yesterday and a holding penalty to go along with that performance on offense yesterday. I saw this tweet yesterday from Drew Beatty, who does some work for PK at paulkarski.com, kind of his film analyst there. And this is part of it. You know, everybody focuses in on the Latham pick at number 7 overall. And the guy that they directly compare him to is obviously Bowers, right? Like, we hear about Bowers all the time on the text line from Titans fan of, well, the Titans could have had Brock Bowers and they took J.C. Latham. And I get it. I understand that. We talked about that at the time. You know, I think the more direct comparison, if you're talking about offensive linemen, would be Olu Fashanu going at 11 to the Jets.
Yep.
And then Troy Fatanu, another tackle at number 20 to Pittsburgh. And Drew Beatty put this out. He said, you know, J.C. Latham's in a tailspin. It's been a brutal year so far, while Olu Fashanu and Troy Fatanu are dominating out there. I mean, that's the other part of this is, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter that much anymore because the general manager who made the pick and the offensive line coach who was a pivotal in the pick are now both gone.
Right.
So, I mean, everybody who wanted Latham in here, except Chad Brinker, is gone at this point. So it just kind of is what it is. But, like, even beyond the Bowers comparison, like, it's just – it's a rough start for J.C. Latham in his Titans career to this point.
Yeah. And it doesn't. I'm not resolved that he's 100% a bust. I also I think he can straighten things out and become a good player. But like you said, at 7, you got to be a great player. I have serious doubts that he's going to be a great player. And again, it's like played had some really good snaps yesterday. Overall, pretty good, you know, performance on the field. Three false starts in that situation is like, it's just like there's something else. Again, you pair that with White Simmons getting after him. Like there's something else going on with him where people and at least teammates are seeing something where he's, you know, he's just not taking something seriously or whatever it is. I don't know. But clearly there's something there. You know, it's like, you know, the Bills just decide to sit Keon Coleman. And I don't mean, you know, I'm not trying to like compare the situations directly, but sometimes it's just like someone's just, there's just stuff we don't know. Again, the whole Brownlee thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff like that that goes on it's not encouraging because like that should not be a, and it is, like I said, it's surprising to me with Latham. I mean, again, you know, Latham, I think, you know, listen to Nick Saban talk about him. I mean, listen to Latham for the most part since he's been in the NFL. I mean, he seems to have a really good head on his shoulders, but clearly there's something missing right now. I want to read this quick from Ed. He says, it's not a popular opinion, but real leaders don't air dirty laundry to the media. Just shut up, keep it in house. Do you and the coaches, it says, wait, do the coaches in front office are happy? Oh, do you think the coaches in front office are happy he popped off to the media? I would guess, I mean, Mike McCoy probably just took a nap and had some milk after the game. He has no idea what happened, but I would guess that.
By the way, who cares what Mike McCoy thinks?
I mean,
no disrespect to him. He's a great guy, and you know, he's forged a nice career for himself in the NFL, but Mike McCoy's not going to be here in like 8 weeks, so nobody cares what he has to think about this.
But as far as front office, that's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know. I feel like for the most part, it's interesting because you say it's not a popular opinion, Ed, but that opinion about Simmons, until recently, it was very much like, please stop whining after the games.
Yeah.
And right? Like his immaturity, his lack of leadership was a big thing, and now everybody's like, he's the greatest leader of all time. I personally don't have a problem with it. Again, if you're doing that and you're not directly talking to someone about that stuff, okay, I think that's an issue. I agree that you should not. And look, he didn't call anybody out by name there, right? I mean, it's obvious what he's talking about. He's mostly talking about the offensive line. And I think he's probably talking about Mandor too, because that was wide open yesterday too often. But I think it's fine, and I would think the front office would think the same way. You want to see some fire? You want to see someone who's pissed off, sick of losing? And again, as long as you deal with it face-to-face inside the building, I don't think what he did was a problem. And we know that he did. We know that he has at least one time this year gotten after Latham in practice.
Well, you saw him yesterday. You could see him on the sideline.
Yeah, like
yelling at everybody on the sideline. He said it in that clip we played. That he said, I said it on the field. I said it in the locker room, and here I am saying it right now. Like I'm with you. Like as long as you're saying it to other people, I don't have a problem with you every now and then popping off to the media. Now it doesn't need to be an every week thing. I don't think it's going to be an every week thing. I mean, it's the first time he's really done it to that level where he's directly and indirectly calling people out. Like you know, but the other part of this is when you have the skins on the wall and you play as well as he's played, which, by the way, thought he's pretty good again yesterday coming back. Like, that's I have no problem with that on a 1-9 football team trying to get some fire lit in there a little bit.
Yeah.
And look, you could see him talking through it yesterday. Clearly, they've had some of these conversations, right? Like, you go back to the practice where he got after Latham and made them restart the drills. Clearly, they've been talking about some of this for a while. So, when it ain't working, maybe you change the approach a little bit. You do it publicly and see how somebody responds to it. I have no issue with that.
Yeah, and maybe that's what he was doing. You know, like he's like, you know, this was strategy. Or maybe he was just emotional and pissed off, you know, right after a game, and he couldn't contain himself. But, yeah, as long as you handle it face-to-face, then I think maybe people are going a little overboard on, like, Jeff Simmons has become this – incredible leader
agree.
And all that stuff, like, you know, like it's not easy. Now he is playing at such a high level that strengthens the voice. I mean, they lined him up in the edge one time and he just did an outside speed move. Like, geez, the guy could play defensive end in this league at this point, as quick as he is now. But you know, there's a lot of things that go into it, and there's this stuff, there's being mad, yelling at people, subtweeting them in the media and all that stuff. And then there's also, like, you got to also try to keep people together and, you know, make sure, like, you got to do both things and know how to handle different types of people and all that stuff. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if he's, like, the perfect guy for that. But,
yep.
But look, at this point, he's their best player by far. He's probably as good a guy at his position as there is in the league this year. Good for him. And somebody being pissed off about all this stuff isn't the worst thing in the world.
Phillip on the text line says, why are y'all going hard on Latham? Was he great? No, but he definitely wasn't as bad as several other starters, wide receivers who we should be talking about. I feel like Ward is a bigger issue on so many missed passes to open wide receivers down the field, which he should be hitting. And looked lost.
I think he said in the LT who looked less tackle. Oh, yeah. Left tackle.
Left tackle who looked lost. Well, there's no doubt the Bandor has looked lost.
Yes, we have said that several times.
Well, we're talking about Latham because he's the seventh overall pick. We're 23 games now into his career. And there's a lot left to be desired with his play out there. I mean, look, we keep talking about the path to the Titans being a good football team. Yeah, the quarterback's a big part of that. And we're going to talk plenty about the quarterback today, by the way. You know, I got something that I saw Terry McCormick bring up with the quarterback that I want to get to here in just a second. But we're going to talk plenty about the quarterback. There's plenty to talk about with the offense. But J.C. Latham is a part of it. I mean, he's supposed to be a foundational piece of your offense. We're now 23 games into his career, and he's been largely bad. Like, I don't know what other way to put it. He's been largely bad. That's a huge problem for the future of this team.
Yeah, he's got to get a lot better. Again, if he can build on some of his play yesterday against Will Anderson, a guy, you know, that's his buddy from Alabama. So I don't know if that's like, I guess if you can block Will Anderson, I don't care if you're his twin brother. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good performance. So there is encouragement in like his talent and like again he got his body in better shape. It's not his fault he got hurt this year, but I mean three false starts and a holding penalty in one game is absurd. When it's not on the road like at Seattle or something, you know?
Yeah, it's like saying, you know, the quarterback played pretty well, except for the four interceptions he threw yesterday. Yeah. You know? Like, it's just...
Are you ripping Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
Because he did throw four interceptions yesterday.
That was a tough one.
It was a tough one.
I mean...
Yeah, but yeah. So I agree, like, there's other people, Phillip. Like, you know, there's
plenty
of choices. Yeah. Plenty of choices out there.
You got a
whole
laundry list of issues that are going on out there. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on the Latham front. We will get into the Cam Ward part of all this coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Mondays were made for Masero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action. From queso to kickoffs, this is how Masero does game night. Masero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. They lose 16-13 to the Houston Texans yesterday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Chuck says, why are we acting like one player going to make a difference on this team? There's a lot of players that are bad.
We're not allowed to talk about individuals. Titans player, not good.
Well, the thing is, if they get you know some of these individual guys that were high picks to play better, they probably will be a better team in the long run.
Yeah, it actually does take individuals. It takes individuals, Chuck, to make up a team. So, and those young guys who went with super, super high draft picks or players who are paid a lot of money, those are the ones that are more important than some of the other ones. Although I notice we got a lot of Restrepo.
Yeah, catch the strep.
A lot of strep talk
this
week.
At this point, why not?
Sure.
Give it a shot.
But also, I can already envision Wednesday screaming at Kaharski. I've got some beefs with him. Boy. So talk about Mr. Magoo. Guy needs new glasses based on some stuff I read that he wrote today. But why are people hating on Mason Kinsey? You know? Like, the guy he's a lifetime practice squad guy who, when he comes in, he usually, like, makes plays.
Well, it's not that.
It's like he has some issue. Like, they should have some better player as their ninth receiver. But it's like, okay.
Well, I think it's more the fact that he's on the field. Like, it just.
Yeah.
You know.
Obviously, it took a lot to get to that point.
It did, yes.
But, you know.
I'm just saying, you know. The one where, I don't know what happened on the one that was down by the 7-yard line or whatever, where he's wide open. And it looked like he just turned the wrong way and got mixed up. I don't know.
I don't really know if that was him or
he turned
Cam
inside, and I think Cam thought he should have turned outside. Because you could see it on Cam. Like, on Cam's face after he threw the ball and missed it. I mean, Cam, they zoomed in on Cam after that play, and he's just like, what are you doing? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what happened on that play.
Later in the game, Cam had him wide open and just threw a terrible pass. Yep. And Kinsey got a hand on it, and it should have been the easiest completion. And this is the issue with Cam. You know, it's like some of these misses, like you can't miss that play.
Yeah.
Kaharsky writes that, like, he tried to blame Kinsey on that play. My God, Mr. Magoo. Let's watch the game together. We'll blow it up just like you blow up this cursor on my computer. We'll get it real big for you so you can figure out what happened on that play. Sorry. I should wait to just rip Kaharsky on Wednesday, but.
No, why not?
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Chuck doesn't want us talking about players.
One texter says, Latham's last motion penalty was the dumbest. They're running the clock down at the two-minute warning. They weren't even going to run a play. You didn't have to block anyone. You still moved early. I've been watching football for 60 years, and that was the stupidest penalty ever.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, man. That is pretty bad.
So we got the this text from Wes in Clarksville kind of leads into something I saw from McCormick that I want to get your thoughts on. So Wes in Clarksville says, you know, what if we finish the season and end up with the number one pick, which, by the way, Titans have right now. We'll see how that goes. Then we get new coach. He comes in, evaluates Cam, decides he's not the one. Is it possible to draft another quarterback with a number one pick? Because if Cam doesn't work out next year, it will be a repeat of what we had with Levis and Callahan. And Callahan saying, that ain't my QB. I saw this from Terry McCormick. And, you know, it leads back. There was this whole big thing on Titans social media yesterday about, you know, quarterback competition next year, I guess, between Lord and Levis.
Sure.
Yeah, like, all right.
Get excited.
That'll be interesting to see how that goes. You know, Terry McCormick said this, says, while Cam's going to be the front runner based on his draft status, the new coach should have the power to pick his starting quarterback, be it Cam, Levis, or a free agent. The arranged marriage between Callahan and Levis didn't work. The Titans should avoid that mandate this time with this hire. What do you think of that?
Okay. So he's saying, because my answer, I already typed out the answer to Wes, which is, like, you understand that this front office is fired. If they're like, oh, after 1 year, Cam's a bust, we're out. How could you keep your job after that? Borgonzi included.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's possible, like, you know, if you hit on the next quarterback, then I guess nobody would really care at that point. But
again, I don't care who you bring in. There's nobody in the next draft that's going to come in here with this ragtag group and hey, let me lift you to a 10-7 season.
I agree.
It's not happening.
I agree.
So I don't think this stuff is Cam to me. I'm not sitting here saying this guy has no chance. I'm also not sitting here saying, ooh, this guy's going to be great. But I'm not sitting here saying this guy has no chance. That's what it has to be. It has to be, oh, my God, Josh Rosen or whatever. Like, this is so bad. Get him out of here. They just bombed it. And, again, if that's the case, then how are you not fired then? All these people who get fired in this organization, you don't get fired for that? That Cam Ward's going to be the quarterback next year. And I'd bet you right now that Cam Ward, that it would take severe poor play for him to not be the quarterback in 2027, okay? Next year he's going to be the quarterback of Tennessee Titans. I'll bet that right now. I'll bet anybody right now. And so the next coach coming in, if you think he's trash, then don't take the job.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the main thing. I would also say this. Like, I think you could even get to the point where after this year, like, say it just – the rest of the season is what it's been to this point, which is just not very good. Like, it's been – he's got some moments where he's been okay. But the larger picture, and some of it's his fault, some of it's not, but it just hasn't been very good. I mean, go look at their offense. It's not very good. Say you get – that's what it is the rest of the year. Like, I still think you could look at it and maybe even deep down in your Borgonzi have serious doubts as to whether or not that's going to work out. And you still, if you land the number one overall pick – have to find some way to improve this roster and trade back and get more picks.
And that's an
amazing
way.
Because your only selling point after that for your job is going to be, well, look what I've done with the roster out here. We can go find another quarterback at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's sort of the, you know, like Chris Ballard model. Again, there's been times when people have talked about him as the best GM in the league. There's been times we've wondered how he still has a job. Ultimately, they wander through the quarterback wilderness, and we'll see. We'll see if they figured it out. Right now it looks good, but either way – they do have a good team.
They got a good roster. Yep. Do that. You have the number one pick right now. Like, again, like you think that, oh, who's our guy, Chad?
Yeah.
Chad would say you're an idiot if you don't just Zero bring in Mendoza. Here. Yeah. That's ridiculous. To think that Mendoza is coming in here, and he may end up being the greatest quarterback of all time. Sure. I don't know. Maybe. He's good. He's a good college quarterback. The idea that you're just going to do that, come in here, not improve the roster again for a second straight year, again, make the wrong choice of picking a quarterback at the top of the draft when you should have improved your roster. Well, there you go. You're just going to suck and get fired.
Well, again, like Cam yesterday, I mean, I would love to know. I mean, here it is. It was 5.2 yards per completion yesterday. They were very clearly trying to establish a quick passing game yesterday. I mean, they understood who the edge rushers were that they were going up against. They didn't try very much down the field. Now, they did hit one down the field later in the game to Chig, which is a great play, good throw by Cam on that play. But it was largely try to get the ball out of your hands pretty quickly yesterday. So, I mean, I didn't think Cam was awful or anything yesterday by any stretch of the imagination. Now, he did miss some throws that you just cannot miss as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and that's happened every week with him. And we've talked about that, the footwork and all those different things. He also made a couple throws where you're like, okay, yeah, that's pretty good stuff there. So I'm with you. I'm not to the point with Cam Ward where I just am hopeless that he's going to figure it out moving forward. There's so much around him right now that's a disaster that you got to fix that part of it. And then you can actually have your evaluation of him.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, here's a Texas says, am I crazy to think Ward wasn't terrible yesterday? Overthrew some passes, wasn't accurate at times, but the defense, number one defense in the NFL. Look at the receivers he had in the game. And they, you know, 68% of his passes, QB rating of 82. You know, some good and bad. Like, there's just some misses you can't have. My favorite part about him yesterday was that he decided to – he ran with conviction. And I think that's just got to be more a part of his game. He's good. He's good at sliding and keeping himself safe. Like, he's got that down, and he's not super fast, but he can move well enough to make defenses pay if they're going to play man, turn their backs on him, and just take those yards. I thought like you said, it was probably game plan more because you're going to do a lot of quick game against that team and your offensive line. But I also just thought that what he has talked about, which is maybe not quite hunting the deep stuff as much and just taking the 6-7 yards.
Yeah.
I thought he did that better too.
Well, here's the other thing that nobody's talking about all that much that is just a killer for them too. They are the worst running attack in the league.
Yeah.
They cannot run the football. By the numbers, they are. They are 78.9 yards per game. It's the worst in the league. They cannot run the football.
Which, like, I totally was wrong about that. I actually thought that might be something that saved them and helped him a lot because of guys like Skoronski and Latham and Zeitler that you'd be able to run the ball better. But I part of it is, like, all due respect to Tony Pollard, but, you know, this is about the end of the line for him. They have to get better at that position. Spears, you know, here and there will actually look a little bit explosive, you know.
Not yesterday, but yeah.
Well, he did on the one or two little screens, right?
He ran the ball 4 times, 3 yards yesterday.
Yeah, but running the ball, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, but
like, I'm saying, like, with the ball in his hands, he can break a tackle and look fast. Pollard can't do that anymore. Like that, so that's where, you know, again, that's part of the team that you thought would, okay, there's a part of the team that's good this year, and it's not.
Yeah, they cannot run the ball at all. Like, it's crazy how bad they are at running the football. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. We will do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.